Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. RRM Design Group in San Luis Obispo has offered to match dollar for dollar what Lighthouse Baptist Church raises for Hurricane Harvey relief. Now, we opened the matching gift offering last Sunday and will continue receiving donations for Hurricane Harvey victim relief until September 12, and on the 13th, we send the check. Now, Paul Kebisag, member of Lighthouse Baptist, works at RRM Design Group and set this up for us. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, RRM Design Group. The company has graciously offered to match dollar for dollar all that we raised by September 13. And aside from the small percent kept by PayPal for processing our donations, every single penny will go into the mouths, onto the bodies, for medical relief, for whatever is needed by the victims of Hurricane Harvey. Now, you can make your contribution to Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund by going to santamarialighthouse.org. And on the home page at the bottom, you'll see a donate button. Now, this is very important. You must put Harvey in the special instructions field with your donation. And my friends, don't forget faith, family, freedom, and the Second Amendment. That weekend's coming up November 3 through 5. November 3rd, it begins with a Friday evening banquet, and we're honored to have California Assemblyman Jim Patterson with us, who'll be speaking, and then also Santa Barbara Conservative Women Federated President Julie Bischoff, and of course, your beloved Brain Masseur. For our biggest ever Lights On Banquet, an evening with the Brain Masseur. Lou, owner of Have It Wired, with his trusted assistant Peter of Calcoast Irrigation, will prepare their legendary tri-tip dinner. And it is awesome. Emily will prepare her delicious dessert. Pat, owner of Pat's Automotive in Santa Maria, and John Perry, owner of Range Master and Slow, are teaming up together to provide the gun for our God and Gun Clinger Home Defense Kit, a Smith & Wesson MP9 shield with crimson trace laser and holster. And of course, Lighthouse will provide the leather-bound Bible. And that is our first prize drawing. And then Phil Tate, owner of Tate's Avocado, has contributed two more prizes worth about $200 each. So we have three drawings this year, and every paid guest is entered to win in each drawing. I mean, so conceivably, you could win all three. This year, we'll also have a silent auction of some awesome items. For example, C.D. Hood Diamond Company here in town, Santa Maria, has put up two beautiful bracelets for the silent auction and a lot of other great stuff. The evening includes some wonderful music, a sit-down Let Us Wait On You dinner served by our gracious hosts, the Lighthouse Baptist Church family, and of course a live performance of the Brain Massage Show. Now friends, if you believe the Bible should be kept out of politics, this event is not for you. But if you believe what our founders said repeatedly, that no nation of free people can survive without God, and that this nation was founded upon the Bible by men who feared God and loved their country, well, this is an event for you. Go to santamarialighthouse.org, click on the banquet button at the top right of the homepage, complete the form, and follow the instructions at the bottom of that form to make your payment, and your registration is complete when your payment is received. It's a bargain at $25 per plate. You can buy a table, that would be 8 tickets. You can buy a table and get one ticket free. Great food, great fun, great cause. Go to santamarialighthouse.org, locate the banquet button on the top right of the homepage, click, and then complete the registration form, and then make your payment according to the instructions at the bottom of that form. And then you're in. If you have any questions, or if you prefer to register by phone, call Becky at 805-714-0786. That number one more time is 805-714-0786. Okay. Let's see what we have on the desk for today. Let's turn on the lights, shall we? The DACA, so-called Dream Act, has been reversed, rescinded. At least Trump is doing what he can to rebuild America from the wreckage of the Obama wrecking ball presidency. And by the way, as heroically, he forges forward into a virtual hurricane of resistance. But look at this. Trump holds hands with Schumer and Pelosi. Trump kicks the can down the road. Breaks from McConnell Ryan. Joins with Schumer and Pelosi? Really? Looking at a photo here, and well, there they are, McConnell, Schumer, and Pelosi, with Trump in the Oval Office from the article here, working out a deal to repeal the debt ceiling, which I'm not sure that's what it was about, to repeal it. But anyway, and to get relief to Houston. Now, what's that all about? Good night. I guess he can't get anything done with the losers leading the GOP. So he has to turn to the losers on the left. What does this portend? What are we learning about Trump with his position on DACA? You know, he actually has sympathy with all that, by the way. We'll get into it. And then his position on the debt ceiling right now. Is Trump pivoting left? Well, I don't think so, but I'll explain why in a moment. Meaninglessness of the GOP majority has certainly been a very distasteful bane to our hopes of the transformation we looked for from a Trump presidency. What has happened to Obamacare repeal and replace? Hey, now all the talk is about tax reform. Ryan comes out saying he's all ready to go on tax reform. Really? Yawn. I mean, this is getting boring. I watched the Obamacare repeal and replace show, and it was a nothing burger. Interesting expression. Apparently, the president feels the same way. He said, Obamacare, they should have got that done. Tax cuts? Well, we'll see. I hope they get that done. I mean, the frustration is clear in his manner, facial expressions, and tone of voice, and in what he's saying. So, sure enough, here we go. Tax reform that isn't. They want tax cuts that are revenue neutral. What in the world does that mean? How do you have a tax cut that's revenue neutral? Basically, what it means is they're going to give tax relief to one group and then increase tax burden on another. Oh, give me a break. You just need to let this economy go, man. Let this economy go, and these problems will go away. Robert E. Lee statue is being attacked. Who is behind this? And what is really going on here? Because it has nothing to do with white supremacists or slavery. Lee never owned slaves. He was certainly not a white supremacist. He never sold them, never owned it. He spoke passionately against slavery. Of all the people for this crowd to target, Lee is the most absurd of all possible choices. There is one thing, however, about Lee, and that is first and foremost in his life and testimony, and that is this. He was a Christian man. That's interesting, isn't it? That old Antichrist spirit stirring up. Who believed in freedom, and he was loyal to his state, his beloved Virginia. He didn't fight for slavery. He fought for freedom. And he, by the way, felt the irony of all that in his own heart and expressed as much in his correspondence. He thought the issue of abolition was winning the day and felt it should be left alone to win socially, culturally, by the gospel, and then finally politically, but not militarily. Exactly the position most of us have taken on the issue of abortion today. And aren't you glad? Maybe Madonna is at least one victory that we can claim from the election of Trump. She left the country. Bye-bye, Miss Soviet Pie. Clearly not American. I mean, not so far as our founders envisioned it. Everything worked for Harvey. Everybody did what they were supposed to do in this thing. The only big thing that big media could find to complain about was Melania's shoes. Incompetent? Look, Trump might be said to be a lot of things, but incompetence is certainly not on the list. And now comes Irma, pummeling Florida. You know, it's with stuff like that, it brings up the question of whether such events are acts of God, doesn't it? Punishing mankind for their wickedness. And I did address that in my pulpit Sunday night. And Lord willing, I'll have that message posted on our website. I'm going to shoot for Tuesday. Oh, California Governor Brown wants to pay protection money to thugs. Yeah. He wants the state to pay, quote, gangbangers cash stipend if they'll stop killing people, end quote. Can you believe this? Let's use that on our playgrounds. Hey, bullies, if you promise not to take Johnny's lunch anymore, we'll buy your lunch or we'll pay you for that. What is this, a legally sanctioned protection racket? Oh, good night. Anyway, thank you for joining me today. I think you're going to enjoy the show. Informative, insightful, and from a distinctively American Christian point of view, looking at America through the eyes of the brain masseur is about as close as you'll get to seeing it through the eyes of Washington, Hamilton, and Adams. If you're new to the Brain Massage Show, you're gonna have a lot of fun. You're in for a treat, okay? Table set. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The DACA, so-called Dream Act, debacle. Obama signed into law by executive order something that the libs like to call the Dream Act. Now, that's already curious since the word act is usually reserved for legislation handed down by our proper legislature. Leave it to lying Dems to find a way to make something appear to be something it's not. Obama's DREAM Act was a presidential action that violated federal immigration law and usurped legislative powers, so perhaps it is rightly named after all, but Trump rescinded the executive order by the stroke of his mighty pen, and the libs are reacting in typical displays of ignorance. Now here's a fellow named Seth Meyer who said, with all the trouble facing Trump right now, what does Trump decide to do? Quote, he decides to deport hundreds of thousands of law-abiding Americans, end quote. I kid you not. That is so totally not what Trump is doing that, well, not even CNN came up with that one. That one goes to NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers. He is a comedian, you know, so in the Griffin Club, perhaps, he has his own way of holding up a bloodied head of Trump weeknights on NBC. First, Trump actually has sympathy with the children brought here as children by parents who crossed into our country illegally. He's made many statements to that effect. He looks at these kids and sees many of them have integrated into American culture. But he also sees those that are anti-American and who are using DACA as a cover to continue their subversive anti-American activities. And that is going on, by the way. So you see, these snakes are so slippery. On the surface, a quick glance, you might think that, well, hey, you know, the law forbids anyone being granted DACA, deferred action for childhood arrivals, who is a criminal. And the law does say that no one will be granted DACA who has committed a felony or serious misdemeanor or has three misdemeanors on their record. But then, sort of in the fine print, there's this little loophole that says, quote, except in cases of exceptional circumstances, end quote. And what it does is it leaves entirely in the hands of Obama's deep state operatives the privilege to exercise their own discretion about what constitutes exceptional circumstances. And here are some examples. Freedom Outpost's Tim Barrow shines the light of truth into this dark world. His motto is that the family that came together can leave together. All right. Now we'll comment on that in a minute. There are at least 25 suspect criminal illegal aliens protected by Obama's Dreamer Act right now. There are many more than that, but here, yeah, I got a list here of 25. Cynthia Garcia Cisneros committed a felony hit-and-run crime that killed two girls, but she's protected from deportation by DACA. Here's a dreamer that murdered an American teen in a sanctuary city. Oh, yeah. Now, he was here under the protection of the DREAM Act. Another dreamer is accused of raping a woman in a sanctuary city. What's with that? Woman, here's another dreamer, a gangbanger, allowed to stay here under the protection of DACA, busted for helping a drag queen smuggle illegals into the United States. And this goes on for another 20 or more cases. And by the way, it only touches the surface of all this. Listen, this kind of thing is just too common. It's too commonly reported among them. And these are not Americans. These aren't American kids. Look, if I decide to drive into Canada illegally and live there, does that make me a Canadian? If I drive into Mexico and illegally decide to stay there, does that make me Mexican? Just because someone crosses our border does not make them an American. Even if they were carried across with no power to resist, it nevertheless does not make them. That's not how you become American. I was very pleased to see that Mr. Barrow cited the Bible in his article. He refers to Leviticus 19:33 and 34. It's a verse I brought to your attention and several others. And the Bible does make it clear that those who immigrate into our country are to be treated with respect and they are to be given equal protection of our laws. However, scriptures also make it clear they are expected to obey our laws and, by the way, to respect our customs. Otherwise, they're not welcome. They're not viewed as guests. They're viewed as criminals and as enemies of our state. What did Trump do exactly? Well, he actually believes in the principle of DACA, by the way, and I'm not sure I can track with him on this, but he does have a soft spot for this situation. There are some very fine young people protected by DACA that I think you would agree with me should be welcomed here. Look, I think especially the kids who are of age, like 18 and over, I think they should be treated like adults in the situation and given a path to citizenship because they didn't break the law. Their parents did. The minor children would need to go back to the country with their parents. I don't know. We need to have a conversation about this. But the first thing that has to happen is the restoration of law and order. Now, what do you think should be done with these kids? I mean, the ones who are truly integrated into American life, brought here through no fault of their own, and have lived here all their lives. Do we inflict upon them the sin of their parents? You know, the Bible says no. and it's unrighteous and it's unjust. For those concerned that this is a signal that Trump is turning left on DACA, because actually he's kicked it to the legislature and has basically said, if they don't do something about it, I will. So there you go. But with regard to the question whether he's turning left, I don't think he's any different in this position than he's ever been. Maybe some of you just weren't listening to him. He rescinded Obama's effort to provide cover for illegals, and he has encouraged the legislatures to address the issue, as they should. But it's clear he's not interested in rounding up all these kids and deporting them. Now, I don't agree with him on that, but I sort of agree with him on that. I know. Well, listen, tell me what you think about my idea here. Clearly, we can't wait for the Dreamers to commit a heinous crime before we deport them. And what has been happening is even when they do commit an egregious crime, they still have to be litigated before we can deport them. And some Obama bot judge then throws it out. So clearly this is not working. On the other hand, yeah, I get it. It does seem cruel to tear a good kid up from where he's been rooted for 10 to 18 or 20 years for a crime committed by his or her parents. Now, what we've been doing, basically, is we've been giving them all blanket protection under DACA and then weed out the bad eggs as they break and stink, which is an understatement and, by the way, isn't consistently done. There will have to be a massive rounding up of these families, and then the family that came together must leave together. They need to be deported. So, the parents who committed the crime of illegal entry must be returned to Mexico, and like Barros, I say, the family that came together can go home together. They can get in the back of the line and then come in honestly and legally. Obviously, minor children will have to return with their families. However, those who are of age, I think, should be allowed to appeal for permanent residence if they're English-speaking, with nothing more than a parking ticket on their record. I'm being facetious to make the point. They love America and have truly become American. Well, then let them stay. If they are all Viva Mexico, well, they need to go back to Mexico. If they're members of La Raza, gone. If they're a member of any gang, gone. If they fly the American flag upside down, gone. If they put the Mexican flag above the American flag, gone. If they've been indoctrinated into the whole America's evil and America's the devil and all that, gone. Go hate us from the country you think is so great. Don't come here and join all the benefits of liberty and then spit on the flag and the people who created this great nation under God. So you can call me directly at 805-714-0785 and let me know what you think about this. All right. You know, I went long in this segment. I'm not even going to take a break. Let's just keep rolling. But let me pause for just a moment and encourage you to, right now, register for the Lights on Banquet and the Faith, Family, and Freedom Second Amendment Weekend coming November 3 through 5. You've heard all the great stuff we're going to do for that banquet and the events. But my friends, listen, I enjoy meeting members of my audience. And like David said, is there not a cause? People must be informed in order to remain free. People need to be given access to the truth and to clear thinking. It's the only way to turn the lights on and scatter the darkness. We need to work together, and the Brain Massage Show is unique in many ways. But the most important difference, we know the answer is faith, family, and freedom. We know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope. We know that in this tug of war that is going on for the hearts and minds of our young people and our children, that one side is dragging us closer and closer toward anarchy, socialism, communism, atheism, secularism, materialism. The isms are winning. And we need to start pulling back hard against those who are perverting the moral character of our children almost from preschool. Come on, join me on the rope. Let's pull together. Let's pull this country back toward God and the Bible, which is the only solid ground for the supports of our liberties. Go to santamarielighthouse.org and register for the Lights On Banquet today. All right. The debt ceiling games are on. You know what that is all about, right? It was created in 1917. Before that, Congress had to justify each bond issue. But with a debt ceiling, they were free to spend as they would, all the way up to the ceiling. And of course, once they have a ceiling, they spend to the ceiling almost immediately. And then almost every year, they vote to raise the ceiling. Well, they've hit the ceiling again. And Trump wants something like $12 billion to help Houston, Louisiana, and Florida with hurricane relief. He does not want the distraction of a debt ceiling fight in the middle of all this going on. So what does he do? Well, look at this. I've got a picture here of Trump holding hands, as it were. He's sitting down with Schumer and Pelosi and McConnell. And from what I'm reading here, he's broken from McConnell and Ryan. They disagree with this. And joined up with Schumer and Pelosi. And I'm looking at a photo, and here they are. McConnell, Schumer, Pelosi, with Trump in the Oval Office, working out a deal to repeal the debt ceiling. This article says that they're talking about repealing it. I didn't get that anywhere else. I hope that isn't the case. What I understand, they just kicked it down the road a little bit, a few months, to get past this issue with Houston and everything. So what is all this about? You know, I guess he can't get anything done with the losers leading the GOP, so he has turned to the losers leading the left. Now, what does this portend? Does this mean that Trump is making that pivot left that I was so concerned about during the campaign? You might remember, I predicted once Trump got into office, he would pivot left because he has some strong left-leaning inclinations anyway. Don't get mad at me. I don't agree with him, but I don't think he's pivoting left. I hope he comes around on this and he'll see that law and order must be restored before anything else can be done. Even God required the demands of justice be satisfied before he would extend the mercy of forgiveness. Yeah, he required mercy and truth to be reconciled before righteousness could kiss peace. Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So what about the debt ceiling battle? Well, you know, take a look at the Trumpster for a moment. Just pay attention to who the president is. This is not a man who is afraid of using debt. And I mean major indebtedness. He did it in his own personal affairs to advance a project. He is the master at the old opium system, that is using other people's money to make money. If you have an emergency situation, and everybody understands that you mortgage your house if you have to meet an emergency. Houston and Louisiana and Florida are going to need help, and Trump is not going to abandon them. So you can rest assured Trump is going to make the deal he needs to make to get the money he wants to meet the demands created by the hurricanes and to further his agenda with infrastructure rebuilding. Now, second, McConnell and Ryan have jerked this president around so much. you're not surprised that he has no inclination to trust them with anything. You heard him talk about Ryan's talk about getting busy with tax cuts. His facial expressions, his tone, his words all betray exasperation with these clowns. He is frustrated by a nothing burger Congress. And so am I, by the way. These guys don't know how to use the power that the Constitution has given them. They're cowards, afraid of their own shadow, it appears, and unwilling to take the necessary actions to get the job done. For example, on Obamacare repeal and replace. Should have been done a long time ago. Trump was asked about the recent stirrings with McConnell and Ryan on tax cuts. And he said essentially that that's where he wanted to be in the first place, that they should have got repeal and replace done, but they didn't, and that he hopes they'll get with it and get something done on this tax cut business. I mean, that's about all he said. So Trump is not about taking one for the team because it has become clear to him there is no team with the GOP. They're working for the other side. They work against Trump and in some ways more hurtfully than do the Progs. So don't expect Trump to hesitate to put this in their faces and rub it in. That's his style. Now, I'm not saying that's why he's calling in Schumer and Pelosi. I don't believe he did it for that reason, but he's going to take advantage of the opportunity to do it. I think he's doing it because, you know, it's where he sees an opportunity to align forces behind a project. He's a deal maker. He's going to go for it. And why wouldn't he? He wants the relief money to get it. He has to raise the debt ceiling. The Dems are the place to go for that, right? So where does he go? Where does the deal maker go for this deal? You got it. I don't think it means Trump has become something other than what he was, what he's always been. When he told us he was going in, it's kind of like Obama. Obama told us everything that you needed to know about him going in. Trump did the same thing. And nor, by the way, do I think he's turned against his newfound principles. It does make sense to me. He certainly has not turned against his friends, McConnell and Ryan. They're not his friends. The Gopher establishment, Aristos, they're not his friends. They never have been. I'm not sure where the likes of Paul and Cruz and Gowdy and Schweikert and Cabo and Trent and Marcia and the other 20 or more real conservatives we have in the House. We'll see where they come out on this as the drama unfolds. But what is my take on this? Well, let's take a moment and get some historical perspective on this, shall we? Kind of get out of the hysteria and get into the historical part of this. I've got this handy chart that provides a graph of how the debt ceiling has moved since Reagan. And we can see that we first hit $1 trillion in debt with Reagan. During his terms, the Democratic Congress, who controls the purse strings, by the way, not the president, raised the debt ceiling over and over until we were at about $3 trillion at the end of Reagan's presidency. And I remember then the people were very concerned. During the Bush 1 years, Congress took it on up to about $5 trillion. Yeah. During the Clinton years, Congress took it to about $6 trillion, and it leveled off. By the way, during the Clinton years, Congress was controlled mostly by conservatives. And so by historic standards, by the way, they held spending fairly well. It leveled off a little bit. The Bush II Congress, mostly liberal, by the way, took it to a little over $12 trillion. And the Obama Congress took it to over $14 trillion during the first half of his first term. Then a conservative Congress got in and slowed it down some. Now, this chart shows that the debt grows exponentially when it's under the control of idiocrats. Thank you, son. That's a great expression. So my take on this, you know, the founders warned about debt and especially about being indebted to foreign powers. It's one thing to issue national bonds bought by Americans, but when these bonds are purchased en masse by foreign powers, we are playing a very dangerous game. The biblical principle is this: the debtor is servant to the lender. Now, I realize that in this country, that has been turned pretty much on its head. It's almost as if today the lender is servant to the borrower. But underneath that facade, and that's all that is the truth. And like gravity, the truth has a way of suddenly taking over, especially in a fall. And the fact is, our national indebtedness owned by foreign powers makes us vulnerable to their control and sets us up for very serious problems. The tax issue must be addressed. I'm glad they're thinking about doing that right now. This economy must be set free, particularly in the energy sector. That's where victory in all this is to be found. And through massive revenue generation, we can address our immediate problems. We can get out of debt to foreign powers, and we can get strong again in this country and make America great again. Now, God warned us that if we turned our back on Him, we would become a debtor nation. And that is exactly what has happened. Debt is very deceitful. It can make you feel like you have money, which makes you act like you have money and spend like you have money when in fact you don't have money. At some point, this catches up to you, and then it's a whole lot of hurt. Americans are amazingly resilient and resourceful and generous. Many millions are pouring into the relief of our brothers and sisters in Houston, Louisiana, and Florida. And I hope you'll help us in the matching fund relief offering we're receiving at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The good folks of Texas are not sitting around waiting for the government to take care of them. And that's the example to follow for Louisiana and Florida, too. As for stepping in with federal relief, it should only be done as necessary. And as much as possible, the state should bear their own burden for the relief they need. And the state should, by the way, these states should set up a fund in which they put aside funds for such emergencies. Look, we know these hurricanes come. What? About every 10 years or so? Sometimes they come 2 or 3 years in a row. A good governor should be at least as smart as a little ant and make provision against future foreseeable and inevitable needs. Meanwhile, I'm guessing we all know what's going to happen here. The government's going to put together a massive spending bill to invest in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. And I certainly don't begrudge my tax dollars being used that way, a whole lot better than using for Planned Parenthood, let me tell you. It's just that this needs to be something other than a huge political slush fund, a la Obama, which is what generally happens, a sort of pay-to-play of another kind. But to the point here, no, I don't think these things portend a leftward pivot from Trump. The hard stuff that needs to be done, well, I have at least some hope that Trump will do it. He does have an acumen for these sorts of things, and that he will take aggressive steps to rev up the economy to offset this horrible indebtedness that we are carrying as a country. And that's all I've got time to say about it right now. But Sunday night at 6 p.m., we'll pick it up and discuss it more thoroughly. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call me at 805-714-0785. So the number is 805-714-0785. To email me, go to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net, you'll see a place there to write me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.